Exclusive, breaking the law, expose reveals Biden White House orchestrated lawfare against Trump to rig 2024 election. By Alexander Marlowe on August 4, 2025. The Joe Biden White House orchestrated the lawfare against President Donald Trump in the run-up to the 2024 election, hoping to jail or bankrupt the Republican standard-bearer in order to prevent him from becoming President of the United States. The fact pattern that I establish in my new book, Breaking the Law, Exposing the Weaponization of America's Legal System Against Donald Trump, reveals a vast conspiracy to use lawfare to rig the race by engaging in an unprecedented level of coordination across branches of government, Democrat power structures, and the White House itself. Their plan was simple and devious. If they could not stop Trump at the ballot box, they would stop him in the courtroom. Biden gave it away in a candid moment in October 2024, "We gotta lock him up." Trump used similar language about Hillary Clinton, but only as campaign rhetoric when his power over the country's legal infrastructure was non-existent. It was a widely held belief in Biden's inner circle that Trump would be in prison before Election Day 2024. It was just a matter of making sure he got there. Had the Democrats succeeded and stopped Trump from being elected, it would easily qualify as the biggest political scandal in modern political history. Thus far, however, there has been no accountability delivered to any of the main lawfare practitioners that was not administered by the voters themselves. The full scope of the White House's specific effort to subvert our democracy to orchestrate the jailing of their main political opponent will require subpoenas and investigations carried out by the Congress and or the U.S. Office of Special Counsel, OSC. These investigations can and should begin immediately. Without accountability or consequences, it is a guarantee that they will use the same playbook to subvert our democracy in future elections. It is already happening. Breaking the Law details a brief history of modern lawfare before I launch into investigations into the six major cases against Donald Trump that played out between his two administrations. I also lay out the ongoing threat of rogue district judges and prosecutors who have abandoned the concept of law in order to stop Donald Trump and the MAGA agenda. Of the six cases, four were criminal and designed to jail Trump, and two were civil and devised to bankrupt him. All were deliberately intended to consume time, focus, and resources. He was often forced to campaign from a courthouse. This was the design. Each of the six major cases I profile in the book has a direct connection to the Joe Biden White House. Before examining those, it is important to state at the outset that President Biden could have shut them all down at any point, but he chose not to. "This is a Biden prosecution," President Trump said. "It's election interference at a level that nobody in this country has ever seen before." Trump is correct. If Joe Biden had suggested this was an unfair targeted prosecution at any point, the charges certainly would have been dropped and America could have resumed our tradition of free and fair elections. But he did not, of course, because he knew that his best chance to retain the White House was to make sure Donald Trump was campaigning from a courthouse and headed for a jailhouse. There were unique circumstances in each of the six major cases against Trump that suggest White House involvement as well as the involvement of top-tier Democratic politicians and donors. I share some of them here, delineated by each case. The Stormy Daniels hush money case. First of all, this case was not about hush money, which is not illegal nor does it guarantee guilt. The case was actually about falsifying business records. I write in Breaking the Law that this was the single weakest case against Trump, yet it was the only one that ended in a, actually 34, felony conviction. The case was headed up by Manhattan District Attorney Alvin Bragg, who ran a campaign bankrolled by George Soros and had the explicit intention of going after Trump if Bragg was elected. Bragg repeatedly and falsely claimed that he had sued Trump over 100 times during before his election. Even the New York Times noted that he broke lawyerly protocol by publicly fantasizing about taking down Trump. The judge presiding over the trial was Juan Merchan, a small-dollar Biden donor himself, this is illegal, who has a daughter who was one of the Democrats' biggest fundraisers. Loren Merchan is president of a Chicago-based leftist consulting firm, Authentic Campaigns, which counts the Senate Majority PAC, a major fundraiser for Democrats, and then Congressman Adam Schiff as clients. The New York Post reported in March 2024 that Loren Merchant's consultancy had raised at least $93 million in campaign donations for the election cycle. For her father to preside over a trial where Trump is the defendant in an election is, as Trump put it to me, the greatest conflict of interest of all time. Yet, the clearest evidence that the Biden administration was actively involved in the case was that Bragg's lead prosecutor, Matthew Colangelo, had left his principal deputy associate attorney general job in Biden's DOJ. He was the third-ranking official at the Department of Justice out of more than 100,000 people. Colangelo, who has a pristine resume and was in a job at the DOJ that would have been a stepping stone for Supreme Court justices and cabinet secretaries but instead took a massive demotion, taking a job that lawyers might get fresh out of college. It's the rough equivalent of like a four-star general in the Army, quitting his job and enlisting in the National Guard as a private, said Will Scharf, the White House staff secretary and one of Trump's attorneys. On November 9, Joe Biden held a press conference and said, "We just have to demonstrate that he, Trump, will not take power. If he does run, making sure he, under legitimate efforts of our Constitution, does not become the next president again." Days later, Colangelo was moved from the top of the DOJ to Bragg's courtroom. This is not a coincidence. Fani Willis's failed RICO case against Trump. On November 18, right around when Colangelo would have put in his 2 weeks' notice to the DOJ, Nathan Wade, prosecutor for and boyfriend of Fulton County District Attorney Fani Willis, was at the White House meeting with counsel for 8 hours. Why was Nathan Wade at the White House? Wade was a family law attorney, that means his area of law is divorces and prenuptial agreements, with no prosecution experience. He was appointed by Willis without any checks or oversight that would have questioned his qualifications. He had zero background in RICO law, the most relevant area of the law for Willis's prosecution. In fact, he admitted that he had to study up on it. Nathan Wade met with the White House counsel at least twice. He billed the Fulton DA's office for 8 hours from the White House on at least two separate occasions, May 23, 2022, and on November 18, 2022, both before Trump was indicted. The case should have been thrown out in January 2024 when this was revealed. Wade has refused to say what was discussed in these White House meetings. But what could the subject possibly have been other than the indictment of Trump? Wade's career to that point was completely unimpressive. He was a nobody. There is no plausible reason he would have had multiple 8-hour meetings at Biden's White House if they weren't specifically working on something big together. Fani Willis herself reportedly had a 5-hour meeting at the White House with Vice President Kamala Harris months before the indictment. The meeting occurred on February 28, 2023, months after Wade's meetings but months before the August indictment. Sources told Breitbart News that a former Biden White House aide, Jeff DeSantis, who had become Fulton County's deputy district attorney, was tasked as liaison between the White House and the Willis office. He is the first person who needs to be brought in for questioning. Jack Smith, the unconstitutional special counsel. At the exact moment Colangelo would have put in his resignation at the DOJ and Nathan Wade was at the White House, Attorney General Merrick Garland's DOJ announced the appointment of Jack Smith as special counsel to investigate President Trump. There is no scenario on earth where Joe Biden and his White House had not coordinated with Garland before the special counsel was announced. To investigate a past president looks like an act of retribution or a preemptive strike. In this case, given Trump's ambitions to retake the White House, it was clearly both. Special counsels are expected to bring charges. This meant a prosecution of Trump was all but a guarantee, carried out by Joe Biden's Justice Department using his own political employees. Smith was best known for high-profile prosecutions such as that of former Virginia Governor Robert McDonnell, a Republican. Smith, on behalf of the Obama administration, tried McDonnell for violating the federal bribery statute. Smith got his conviction, but it was overturned by unanimous 8-0 Supreme Court decision, a massive embarrassment. Smith left the country in 2018 to police the international community for the International Criminal Court, a kangaroo court if there ever was one. Smith was a known partisan and staffed up his team with Joe Biden and Barack Obama donors. His appointment was ultimately ruled unconstitutional. The epic story of how Trump's team discovered this angle and beat Smith with it is told in great detail in Breaking the Law. Smith and his team were either coordinating with the Biden administration on the investigations, which is blatant election interference, or Smith wasn't coordinating with anyone at all, meaning he essentially had infinite power. This is obviously illegal and his office was shut down. Despite his job never being legitimate, he operated for 18 months as though he had the full force of the federal government behind him while he tried to politically assassinate Donald Trump. Smith continued to release illicitly obtained information and documents throughout the election season and beyond, a blatant attempt to interfere in our democracy. E. Jean Carroll's attempt to bankrupt Trump. The most absurd of the six cases I investigated for Breaking the Law is the civil defamation case brought by columnist E. Jean Carroll. Regardless of the surreal facts of the case, they need to be read to be believed. Trump still had no hope of winning once the judge and jury were set in New York. If I had F. Lee Bailey in his prime, it wouldn't have mattered, Trump told me, referring to the famed criminal attorney known for architecting O.J. Simpson's successful defense, among other high-profile cases. They tried to embarrass me before the election, Trump added. By they, he's talking about the Democrats' lawfare superstructure, and there is yet again a Joe Biden connection. The suit was funded by Democrat megadonor Reid Hoffman and orchestrated by anti-Trump TV pundit and lawyer George Conway. Conway is professional anti-Trump legal pundit and bitter ex-husband of Trump advisor Kellyanne Conway. He introduced the idea to Carroll of pursuing a civil case against Trump. Hoffman hates Trump, saying he would spend as much as I possibly can and it takes to beat him. And he just so happens to have been the one shoveling coal into E. Jean Carroll's engine. Carroll's legal team, led by Roberta Kaplan, disclosed that they were funded by American Future Republic, a nonprofit primarily backed by Hoffman. The story of the E. Jean Carroll lawsuit is simple. A far-left billionaire attempted to buy the election via lawfare involving E. Jean Carroll. And it wasn't just any billionaire. Hoffman is a Biden world fixture, a megadonor who visited Biden's White House five times in 2022 alone, a dramatic year in the E. Jean Carroll saga. In business and politics, some people reach their greatest achievements in their 80s or even their 90s. Joe Biden has those qualities, Hoffman said of Biden while urging Democrats to continue to give to him. Even their 90s. As a staunch supporter of Joe Biden and a frequent guest of the White House, Hoffman also funded one of the cases to try to take out Trump while he was routinely in meetings at the White House. Tish James and Trump's property value. Letitia Tish James is a partisan Democrat who ran and won her race for New York Attorney General specifically to try to destroy Trump. She is one of the most open and public practitioners of lawfare featured in the book. She once told the group of New York Democrats that I look forward to going into the office of the Attorney General every day, suing Trump, and then going home. She uses the law to advance political goals, and she doesn't hide that fact. Despite rising crime in New York during her tenure as state AG, she seems entirely fixated on getting Trump. James accused Trump of inflating his assets to try to get certain benefits for his businesses. There were no victims of the alleged crimes and no damages sought by any entities. But Tish James and liberal Judge Arthur Engoron got a judgment that Trump was liable for nearly $500 million anyway. A cruel and unusual punishment obviously designed to bankrupt him or force him to liquidate assets amid the election cycle. Not only are there direct ties to the Biden White House in this case, there was an apparent connection to Senator Chuck Schumer, DNY, as well. A photo of Engoron's top clerk, Allison Greenfield, and Schumer surfaced online, leading Trump to declare Schumer's girlfriend, Allison R. Greenfield, is running this case against me. Greenfield had donated to Democrat candidates in amounts exceeding New York state ethics rules. Breitbart's Matthew Boyle initially reported this story. There is no evidence she was ever disciplined for this. Court officials were not allowed to donate in excess of $500 in aggregate donations in a calendar year. The database suggested that Greenfield's donations exceeded that threshold many times over. In an exclusive interview in the Oval Office in 2025, Trump told me he believed she was behind the entire trial, saying she had total control over Judge Engoron. Trump believed she had her future mapped out, and it started with a big victory against Trump. She thought Biden was going to win, he said, and then she is going to be a federal judge. Biden did not win. During the course of her investigation into Trump, Tish James visited the White House multiple times. Publicly available records show that James visited the White House on April 8, 2022, for a celebration of Ketanji Brown Jackson, July 18, 2022, to meet with Kamala Harris along with other attorneys general, and August 31, 2023, for an event honoring black women. The establishment media have been entirely dismissive that she could have also taken other meetings to discuss Trump's trial during these visits. This New York attorney general has always sought to destroy Trump and was clearly abusing her power to do so, all the while making trips to the White House. She would win her case and get a cruel and unusual penalty assessed to Trump for a victimless crime. Needless to say, the Joe Biden White House did not object. The evidence that the Joe Biden White House was heavily involved in the lawfare against Donald Trump is overwhelming. The Biden White House coordinated an effort to subvert democracy by jailing and/or bankrupting the standard bearer of his rival party. No one has been investigated for it, as far as I can tell, much less held to account. If this is allowed to stand, it is the end of law and order and democracy as we know it. So, we must act. Investigations, subpoenas, depositions. We must get all records and map the coordination across the White House, DOJ, the DAs, the AGs, the donors, etc. to reveal the full extent of the conspiracy. Only then can justice actually begin to be served for President Trump and his supporters. Breaking the law, exposing the weaponization of America's legal system against Donald Trump, which has been hailed by President Trump as a must-read book, is available now in hardcover, e-reader format, and is an audiobook read by the author himself. Alex Marlow is the editor-in-chief of Breitbart News, a two-time New York Times best-selling author, and the host of the Alex Marlow Show podcast produced weekdays by Breitbart News and Salem Podcast Network. You can subscribe to the podcast on YouTube, Rumble, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify. You can follow Alex on Facebook, Instagram, and X at Alex Marlow.